Paul Simon is our guest today. Paul's latest album is called Surprise, and it's a collaborative effort with producer and purveyor of sound Brian Eno, who has worked with David Byrne, U2, and many others throughout his career. His credit on Surprise, Paul Simon's new album, is for Sonic Landscapes. I asked Paul how his collaboration with Eno compared to his with others.
The focus on the new album, all the conversation has been about your collaboration with Brian Eno and the songs and the sound of the album. But it seems to me that you've always been collaborating one way or another, whether it's specific players, specific rhythm schemes. How is this different in kind of jump-starting your creative energy, or is it? I don't know exactly how it came about.
I find it very helpful to engage in the collaborative process. It helps me to write songs. And the way that it helps is I can start with a premise, like a rhythm premise, You're the One, that album, is based on three different drummers and the rhythms that they make up. Graceland was based on, South African sounds and rhythms. And that process of collaboration, it stimulates me to write, and it allows me to write songs in a way that is different from sitting in a room with a guitar and making up songs, which is the way that I did it all through Simon and Garfunkel and most of the 70s, where I wrote a lot of good songs that way. I really did, but I felt at a certain point that I had kind of gone through my natural instincts about what melody and subject matter, could be sitting with a guitar, and I needed things to be more complicated for me to have more interesting solutions. That's why I these collaborations are important to me.
And one of the things you mentioned there is instead of starting obviously with your song and looking for what kind of framework to put it in, you kind of start with a framework.
I think if I do another album, I don't know that I will, but if I do, I think I'll go back to sitting in a room with a guitar, just because I've been doing it this way for about 20 years now. So I understand about rhythm. I understand a lot about it, and I understand about doing the process in this way, which people used to say was doing it backwards. But now I think I could take the backwards and turn it around and make that backwards and be the old forwards way of, sitting and writing simpler songs.
I was thinking about one of the most famous riffs that a song came out of, and I'm wondering if it did come out that way. I was thinking of the Steve Gadd riff that begins 50 Ways. Did it begin with that riff, or was that added after you'd written it?
No, that was after I wrote it. I wrote the song on some primitive little drum machine, and I came in and I sang the song, and everybody liked it. And Steve said, I play this little practice rhythm on a pad on my drum. It's famous Steve, who's probably the great drummer of my generation, he was in the army in the drum corps, and he learned all those marches and all that kind of
paradiddles.
So that's where that came from, and it was a practice thing that he used, and he immediately saw it as connected to the song that I wrote, and that's how it came about. We'll be right back.
problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover. She said, it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. So I'll repeat myself at the risk of being crude. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your love. 50 ways, 50 ways. You just slip out the back chain. Say you make a new plan, understand. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just listen to me. Say you hop on the bus, girl. Don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, lady, and get yourself in. Say you make a new plan, stand, don't need a coy, just listen to me. Hop on the bus, don't need to discuss much, just drop off the gateway and get yourself free. She said, it grieves me so to see you in such pain. I wish there was something I could do to make you smile again. I said, hey, how could you please explain about those 50 ways? She said, why don't we both just sleep on it tonight? And I believe in the morning you'll begin to see the light. And then she kissed me and I realized she probably was right. There must be 50 ways to leave your love. 50 ways to leave your love. 50 way, 50 way. You just slip out the bench. So you make a new plan. Stand, you don't need a coy, Roy. Just listen to me. Hop on the bus. Don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key. So get yourself free. Who slip out the bench? Now you make a new plan. Stand, don't need a coy. Just listen to me. So you hop on the bus. Don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the chili and get yourself free.
Fifty Ways. It's a live performance and talk with Paul Simon today on the World Cafe.
I read a Brian Eno interview where he talked about the two of you at one point when you started working together, kind of being in a forest for the trees situation, and he sent you out shopping in order so that he could work on something so that you could react to it when he came back. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of cute and kind of creative of him to figure, you know, something out to kind of jumpstart things. Did you do things like that with him and how you work together?
Yes, he. First of all, this was my working pattern with Brian. We would get together every like 3, 4, or 5 months for 5 days at a time, and we did that on 4 different occasions. So altogether, we spent 20 days together over the course of like 2 years. So the first couple of days, we had to find how we would, you know, be together in the studio, two people who are been in the studios for a long, long time and were comfortable doing things their own way. Part of what Brian did that was really helpful to me is he would bring a different soundscape to the track, because he has in his electronica all these, you know, virtual sound landscapes that are very beautiful or very arresting and interesting something. So, you know, one of the things that he'll do is take the beginnings of a track and put it through some kind of filter and change the sound and maybe even change what the feel of the rhythm is. Since the songs were in a very, very early stage of composition, that would often be, you know, stimulate me to change or clarify my thinking. Sometimes he would take what I did and, you know, add some space to it with off of the electronica. And when that happened, when he wanted to do that, if it took a long time to do, he felt like if he had an idea and he knew it was going to take him 45 minutes to get through it, he'd say, "I'd like to do this idea, but I just don't want to make you sit through this 45 minutes of ugliness until I get to the part where it's beautiful." So, I don't know what to do. And I said, "Look, it doesn't bother me at all to sit through the process, and it doesn't bother me at all to leave." You know, so. I think in the beginning he sort of felt awkward about saying, "Would you mind leaving so I could be alone to think?" So he sent me out once and he said, "Why don't you buy a Mother's Day present, you know?" And I said, "Yeah, okay, fine." But what he wanted was time to himself, which was completely understandable because what I wanted from Brian was for him to indulge his obsession for sound and go wherever it was most interesting for him and most fun for him, so that the collaboration was one that was something that he looked forward to, as opposed to, "Oh God, here comes like a 5 days with Paul Simon and I'm going to be stressed out." And that's, I think that's really, you know, my version of Brian's story of why right. I left the studio.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Spread, yeah.
A live version of How Can You Live in the Northeast from Paul Simon and his band. We have more performance and conversation coming up. Paul tells us what kind of music he thinks people respond to, something he's been pretty good at predicting. Windham Hill presents George Winston's new solo album, Gulf Coast Blues and Impressions, a hurricane relief benefit, available at Borders. Paul Simon is our guest on the World Cafe today. We'll get back to the stage in a moment. But first, more of my conversation with Paul Simon about his music and his new album, Surprise.
When this album came out, I think it's interesting to talk to you now that it's been out for a while. I thought it was really refreshing that a songwriter of your stature would say, I heard you say in a couple of interviews, how you had no idea how the marketplace was going to view this album. You had no idea whether it was going to be relevant or how people were going to react to it, and or if anybody was looking for a new statement from you, and I thought that was really refreshing. That I wanted to compliment you on having that, you know, kind of self awareness or awareness of the marketplace. I guess is really what it is. Is that tough to realize how the pop music business works nowadays?
Well, it's not tough to realize how it works. I understand it more clearly now than I did when I approached the marketplace with Surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, if I had to describe the marketplace, I would say that more predictable is an asset in the marketplace than unpredictable or what? Experimental is the wrong word.
Something that changes expectations, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I don't. That's not that's not automatically considered a plus in the marketplace. Whereas I, as an artist, think of it as a requirement that I'm supposed to rethink the premises that I've built my music on each time and edit them and make the changes that are appropriate to my changing aesthetic.
Right.
And So that's what I try to do. But what I find, what I found with this record with the marketplace is that the more typical songs were more easily absorbed. And the songs that were, you know, very interesting to me because I changed the form of writing songs. You know, I mean, I've really never done anything in my life except write songs since I'm 13. You know, I mean, I've been in... That's all I've done to make a living since I started recording when I was 15. So I really know about writing songs. In order to write a really fresh song, I have to find some way to get around what I intuit as a very predictable structure. But the marketplace likes a predictable structure because it's familiar and it's singable. And so a song like Father and Daughter, which is a conventional structure, a verse chorus form, and the subject matter is a very easily understood subject matter. You know, it's simple words on an emotional subject, father's love for his daughter. So people, I would say that was the song that people responded to most from this album.
Thank you. Mark Stewart.
Father and daughter live on stage. We're talking with Paul Simon today on The World Cafe.
There's a lot of family on this album. They're babies, they're kids, there's aging, was it difficult to figure out what to write about? Or were those the things that just came to fore?
In the beginning, and part of the reason that there was such a space between my previous album, You Were the One, and this, in the beginning, where 9/11 also occurred, I really didn't know what to say. I really thought I just better be quiet and think for a while, because I really had no idea, you know, what was the function of art in this completely changed world, and how was I going to deal with things that I was thinking. And after a while I said, well, look, I really do not want to write an album where the premise is how angry I am about certain things. Because first of all, it just doesn't seem to be what my art is about, you know? It's not, I think there's a strain of melancholy that runs through some of my work, but it's not, for the most part, premised on anger. So I said, I do not want to write about how angry I am. I don't want to write about politics, because everybody's polarized and they've got their opinion already. And it's like hearing about politics in the context of popular music is just silly, you know? It's just the wrong context to have some sort of serious discussion, for the most part, you know? Of course, there are great political songs, you know, but for the most part, it's like, I don't want to hear about it. I already know, I know which side I'm on, you know? So politics is out. Then there's no real reason in this time where we've lost all our privacy for me to seed any more information that violates my privacy. So why should I tell you or anyone about the deep privacy of my you know, life? I'm willing to say and really mean it how much I love my daughter and other aspects, but for the most part I'm not going to tell you about anything else. I'm just guarding my privacy as dearly as I can. So those three areas were out of bounds, and then I said, and I really do not want to write a falsely optimistic thing where I say, you know, things are going to be great, and God will look out for us, or, you know, I said, I would dearly love to write something that had some optimism and compassion in it, but not if I don't believe it. So those areas are what I'm not going to do. Anything else is okay. And so basically what the album is like anything else.
She's gone, as if I didn't know that.
said losing love, it's like a window in your heart. Everybody sees you're blown apart. Everybody feels the wind blow.
Graceland from Paul Simon, our guest today on the World Cafe. More coming up next hour. Paul Simon, our guest for the entire World Cafe today.